Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you after a 4-2 loss at the hands of the Astros. I'll tell you what, the game got a lot better in the ninth inning. It made me feel a little better what the Rangers were able to do. But nevertheless, a disappointing offensive output. We're going to get to everything here in just a little bit, go through the key moments in the game, talk about some of the scoring, talk about the pitching performances today. Of course, Tyler Mahle making his Rangers debut, and it was a good one, but pretty commonplace. Texas Rangers offensive output, pitcher gives you a great outing, offense gives you just about zero. Of course, Corey Seager adds in a couple late, but we're going to get into all that here pretty quick. Of course, here at Right on Rangers, y'all, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers and especially the Rangers during baseball season. Thank you for joining us tonight. If you're not following, not subscribed to the channel, please go ahead, hit that follow or subscribe button. Consider turning notifications on so you can get notified every time we go live, which is after every Texas Rangers game. Within 30 minutes, I know we're pushing 45 right now at this point, but pretty much within 30 minutes. And then, of course, keep up to date with all of our latest and greatest content. That's true. The Astros are not a team we love from the great state of Texas. I think we need to make that very clear. The Astros are not included in that spiel, just for the record. So let's go ahead and get into it, y'all. I'll tell you, the Rangers have had their fair share. The Rangers have had their fair share of moments like this. I can remember, and the fans that have been around for a while, we can remember some Yu Darvish starts against the Astros. I think y'all already know what I'm about to talk about. We can remember when Yu Darvish was down to one out against the Astros for a no-hitter. I can remember it very clearly. These were times when the Astros were absolutely terrible. Early 2010s, before the ALCS World Series runs that the Astros went on. It's about time the Rangers gave the Astros a little taste of their own medicine, ruining no-hitters in the ninth inning with one out remaining. I really, really am glad that Corey Seager was able to break things up, and just the guy to do it. Just if there was a guy on this Rangers team that was going to end that no-hitter in this fashion, it was going to be Corey. And even though the Rangers get the loss tonight, I am just beyond thrilled that we do not have to hear Astros fans rubbing a no-hitter at Globe Life Field in our face for years to come. And it's just even sweeter. It was Siegs going deep. Josh Jung with a near opportunity there, with a near clutch moment to tie that game. I think Josh Jung, I mean, that dude better be in the weight room, I think, after this one. Am I right? Get Josh Jung to the weight room. Although I will say this, where we only jest, but in Minute Maid, T-Mobile Park in Seattle, and Yankee Stadium, that would have been a home run. So that Josh Jung fly ball to end the game would have been a home run in multiple parks. By the way, what's up to everybody who's tuning in? I see a bunch of people coming in on YouTube here. Baseball Network, what's going on? It wasn't a no-hitter. I do feel like a weird, again, we didn't win, but the fact that we disrupted the no-hitter, it makes it feel a lot less painful. And this was a painful offensive game for a lot of this one. I mean, just limited, no runs scored, no hits. Even the Stros were not doing too much offensively, thanks to Tyler Mahle. Dane Dunning, of course, comes in the game, and things start going awry. And we're going to talk about Dane. Dane has just not been good of late, and he really started out the season strong. I really, really was hopeful that he was going to be able to have a consistent year for the Rangers, but it just hasn't been the case of late. Dane Dunning, we're going to read you the stats, but it's been ugly. And so when Dane came in the game after Mahle throws five very, very strong innings, I did not have a great feeling that the score was going to remain as it was when Tyler Mahle exited the game. Let me keep going through comments here. We got some Astros fans in the chat. Everybody's welcome. Keep it civil, but everybody's welcome. Astros got this one tonight. Look, Framber Valdez pitched an outstanding game. Outstanding game from him. He's been a little hit or miss against the Rangers. There are some Rangers players that were coming into this game against Valdez with some very good numbers. In 2023, the Rangers had a number of players that had positive numbers in 2023 alone against Valdez. I thought the Rangers would be able to get some runs across against him. The big surprise for me was not seeing Nate Lowe in the lineup. for those of y'all that watch my short bids that I put out every day, kind of going through the matchup and going through what happened the night before. The Rangers, Nate Lowe, Rangers first baseman Nate Lowe, was 3-for-8 last year against Valdez with a home run and a double and two RBI. I mean, Nate Lowe had very good numbers against Valdez last year. Even though it's lefty on lefty, I was very surprised not to see Nate Lowe in the lineup today. I know they're going to probably point to the lefty on lefty matchup. Nate Lowe hit Valdez very well in 2023. Again, 3-for-8, double, homer, and quite a few loud outs as well. So that was a little bit of a surprise to me to not see his name in the lineup. I know Nate Lowe has been playing a number of games back to back to back. So it's possible it's kind of one of those routine off days for Nate Lowe, kind of a maintenance day, if you will. That being said, I did not love that move. I think anytime you've got a guy with those kind of numbers, you want to have them in the lineup. Lefty, lefty or not, Nate Lowe last year saw Valdez very, very well. I really thought he was going to be there to help give the Rangers a boost offensively. It wasn't meant to be. Now, the Rangers will play tomorrow, early game, and we're going to get into the preview after we flush this one out. Rangers are off on Thursday, so tomorrow is an important game for the Rangers going into the off day on a positive note. Tomorrow's game will be played, I believe, during the daytime. Official start for the game tomorrow will be 1:35 Texas time. So 1:35 Texas time, it'll be about 11:35 out here for me, but early game tomorrow. So we will probably be going a little bit later on the live. Don't think I'll be able to go live after the game immediately. It'll probably be a little bit later in the evening, just a heads up. I know I got a few people that look for our live immediately after the game. Tomorrow's going to be one of those rare times where it'll be a few hours before we get on. As much as I'd love for this to be my only job, I do have another one. So I do have a day job, so won't be able to get on the live right away after the game tomorrow. But I will be on at some point during the evening hours. So I'll try and see if I can get a post out to let y'all know when that will be. But just a heads up on that. Let me get to comments here. We are going to go through here and just see what we can pick up. Mally had a great Rangers debut. I'm just sifting through rapid fire here on the comments. It was a great debut. And we're going to read you the stats for Tyler Mally right now. Tyler Mally tonight, it's crazy. He does get the loss. I mean, you can't make this up. Very Andrew Heaney-esque. You go five strong, you give up one run, and somehow you get the loss. But Tyler Mally, five innings, five hits, one walk, two Ks. So not a ton of swing and miss from Mally. But Mally, the big impressive number for me, which I think should give Rangers fans a lot of positivity, 50 of 75 pitches for strikes. I think that's huge. You're talking about 67% of your pitches for strikes. Very, very good number from Mally. So I really feel very good about what we saw from him tonight. You knew he wasn't going to be going more than five or six, probably at the most, depending on how many pitches he was throwing and where he was at. And tonight, Mally goes 76 pitches. Very respectable. I think that they're going to look to continue to extend him out as he goes along. But this was just what I expected, honestly, from Mally. Not the outstanding start. I can't say I thought he was going to go five innings, only one earned run. Thought maybe he'd be a little bit rusty in his first start as a Ranger, first start in the majors in a long time. So I can't say I called this Mally start. But it was what I expected in terms of innings pitched. So if you're a Rangers fan, I think you got to be happy with what you got from Tyler Mally, 100%. Not a lot of swing and miss once again, but nevertheless, if you only give up one earned run and six base runners in five innings, you're going to take that every time. Not everybody is going to be a strikeout pitcher. Mike Lorenzen, although a little rough for us in the second half of his Rangers tenure, Lorenzen was a guy that didn't get a lot of swing and miss, but he was going well, getting good weak soft contact, and that worked for him in his game. Maybe Mally's going to be the same. I think he strikes out a guys a little bit more frequently than what Lorenzen does. I think you got to be satisfied, though, with what we got from Mally's Rangers debut. Let me keep going here. Someone might have figured what is going on with Dolly. Basically, they said it's a sycophantical condition called cognitive dissonance. That's getting a little too psychological for me. Maybe. Who knows? I mean, I know a lot of Rangers fans have said just something off with Dolly this year. Mentally, the sharpness, the focus, the plate discipline, vision, all that stuff, just not there for Adolis this year. Striking out on a lot of bad pitches out of the zone. Again, I think if Nate Lowe plays tonight, Doley probably is hitting seventh again. And with Nate Lowe back in the lineup tomorrow, presumably, I really don't know how they can have Doley hitting sixth or any higher than that. I think they'll have him back at seventh, 0-for-3 tonight with the strikeout. And look, Doley was not the only Ranger to blame here. Everybody went 0-for except Corey Seager. Everybody was 0-for tonight. Simeon did draw 2 walks. Very important there. Josh Smith threw a walk. So we had Grossman, I believe, with the walk as well before the Duran double play. By the way, Duran at first base for me, I mean, he didn't make any game-changing mistakes tonight at first base, but I'm just not a fan of when they do that. I just don't think that that's where they need to be playing Duran at this point. First base, he's just way too short. It's a waste of his arm. I think you got a little bit desperate maybe needing an off day for Nate Lowe, and I hope that's all it was. I haven't heard anything different, but I just can't stand when they play Duran at first base. I think anytime they're doing that, I just am hoping it's only for one game. And if any of y'all, by the way, heard anything on Lowe, if this was just routine off day, whatever the case may be, let me know. Busy day for me. Didn't quite have my ears close to the ground on all the Rangers news updates, all that stuff. Although I did get a chance to follow through most of this game. Aaron, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. We're just going through comments rapid fire here. And then I've got a few main points I'll bring up and we can discuss. What on God's green earth was that game? I mean, it was an ugly, ugly game until 2 outs in the bottom of the ninth inning. This game was real depressing. It got a little bit better once Seager hit the home run. A lot better, actually. And then I thought Josh Jung off the bat, I thought he got that one. Again, Josh Jung, hopefully he's in the weight room right now, putting on a little extra muscle to get that one out of the park next time. Josh Jung, though, that would have been a homer. I said this at the beginning of the live. That would have been a home run in 3 different parks. Would have been a homer at the Juice Box. Would have been a homer at Yankee Stadium. Would have been a homer at T-Mobile in Seattle. So it's too bad we weren't playing on the road. Otherwise, that would have been a game-tying home run in Houston. All right, let's keep going here. More comments. By the way, thanks for all these, y'all. Appreciate the support. Love when there's comments. Keeps the show going. Keeps the show fresh. So I appreciate all you. Baseball Network says, I really hope to go to another October Rangers game again this year. That's the hope. I think we just got to win one series at a time. Look, this sweep would have been incredible. And I think all of us would have loved to have seen the sweep tonight. Excuse me, the sweep tomorrow. Win tonight, win the series, go for the sweep tomorrow. You'll take a series win, though. And that is still very much in play. Kikuchi pitching for the Stros tomorrow. We just saw Kikuchi before he got traded to the Stros. Of course, we faced him, last Friday night? Is that right? We faced him like a couple Friday nights maybe past, and we actually hit him pretty well. I think scored 4 or 5 earned runs off of him. I don't think that we were fazed in the slightest by Kikuchi. He did have a very stellar and strong Astros debut, struck out 11, looked very good after giving up 2 early runs. So who knows which Kikuchi we're going to be seeing tomorrow, but I got to think, that the Rangers have some confidence coming into the matchup against their lefty with what they did against him when he was pitching for the Jays a couple weeks ago on that opening Friday night game. Of course, the Rangers did get swept in that series. The pitching was not on point in that game versus Kikuchi. But I got to say, I feel pretty positive about the Rangers' chances of having competitive at-bats against him. Again, Kikuchi gave up, I think, 4 or 5 runs a couple of weeks ago when he faced the Rangers as a Blue Jay. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. We'll do a little bit of a preview of the matchup and how the Rangers have fared against Kikuchi. And then we'll also do the opposite matchup. We'll see how the Astros have fared against the Rangers' probable starter for tomorrow, who is Urania. Urania pitching tomorrow. I think Urania last time, I really didn't get a chance to make this point, and I know I'm skipping ahead of myself here. I usually do the preview at the end of the show for tomorrow's game, but I want to make this point before I forget it. Urania, his last time out, I do believe Carson Kelly was catching him, and that was the first time that Carson Kelly had caught Urania all season long, and I kind of wonder if that had something to do with Urania being a little bit off. I didn't mention that in Urania's last start, and I've been thinking about it for the last 5 days. I think there's something to be said about Urania not having Jonah Heim back there, a guy that's caught every one of his starts and every one of his appearances this year. So Carson Kelly, last time Urania was out, gets the nod. I just kind of wonder if that had something to do with Urania not looking like himself out there in his last start. We'll see if Kelly gets the nod. I don't know what their rotation really is with these catchers. I told y'all last night, I kind of thought Carson Kelly was going to be like that fourth or fifth day guy, kind of just fill the Kisner role. But the more I think about it, the more I think they're trying to get Kelly more into a traditional platoon role with Jonah Heim. Jonah Heim did catch tonight. It's not going to shock me if we see Kelly again tomorrow. If it is Kelly, I do hope Urania and him have been working, getting on the same page. Hopefully we see a better outing. So I really feel like we will. I think Urania and Kelly, first time as battle partners out there on the mound, I think we're going to see a better effort from Urania this time around. More on that at the end of the show, though. Let me keep going here. So we got the Seager brothers have always been a thorn in the Astros side. So I think y'all Rangers fans know Kyle Seager, Corey's brother, who played for the Mariners for a long time, was a freaking Rangers killer. That dude was a Rangers killer. We're talking about Kyle Seager, Corey's brother. I mean, that guy, every time the Rangers went to Seattle or every time Kyle Seager came to Arlington, you could count on him hitting at least one or two homers, probably hitting close to about 400 or 500 on the series. Kyle Seager was a Rangers killer. I mean, look, I'm glad that his brother is following suit. I'm glad Corey is following suit against the Astros. But I do remember Kyle also terrorizing Houston during his time as a Mariner, 100%. That's some good history there. I appreciate that. Thanks, Texas Repo. Appreciate you. Let me keep going here. at least the crybaby didn't get a no-hitter. Is that Valdez? I think I actually remember what you're talking about. Look, it's painful when you have a no-hitter and you get to the last out of the no-no and you can't get it done. It is painful. I mean, and Valdez, he went, 110-ish pitches in this one. I mean, the dude was working hard out there. Look, Rangers fans, we know what it's like. Yu Darvish against the Astros. Did Yu Darvish multiple times get within one out and fail? That's just striking in my mind. I know it happened at least one time against Houston where he got to the last out, Yu Darvish did, and gave it up. I thought maybe it happened to you a second time as well. If it wasn't the last out, he got very deep and just wasn't able to get it done. Anyways, it's very frustrating as a pitcher. I can only imagine. Never been in that spot myself. Pitched a little bit when I played in high school and college, but never sniffed anything close to a no-hitter. So I can't imagine, but it is probably the toughest thing to do to seal that deal in the bottom of the ninth inning or in the top of the ninth inning when the pressure really starts cooking on that. Let me check Instagram here a little bit. Comment on Insta, which I can't flash on the main broadcast. Even though the Astros won, this is what one fan observed. Even though the Astros won, this comment says, you could tell they were bummed. It is, I feel like, a little bit deflating. Like, you know, again, you got the win, but you give up that bomb to Siegs in the bottom half. It does take the wind out of the sails. It just does. And you're just bumming. And really, it's nothing that anybody on the field could have done. Valdez just gives up a bomb, and it is what it is. I mean, I don't know if he missed location there, what happened, but looked like they challenged Seager a little bit either way, and it just did not go well. So let's keep things rolling here. Let's go keep things rolling here. Natalie says, part two, if you really care and aren't playing well, you either have to play better or has to trick himself into thinking he doesn't care to match his actions. So I do think I'm sure you're talking about Adolis Garcia, right? I'm sure there is something mental going on at this point. I mean, we're not talking about crazy mental health issues, but I think he's in his head. I think we can all kind of say that collectively. He's not swinging at good pitches. The approach isn't there. It's not the same Dolly that we saw in September and October last year, and even into November. Kind of have talked about this. Mari, what's up? Kind of have talked about this a while, but Valdez, outstanding tonight. I mean, look, I'm not going to hate on the guy. He no-hit us for 26 outs, so no hate for Valdez. 8 2/3, one hit, two earned runs, did have 3 walks, 5 Ks. Valdez is a guy the Rangers have hit against in the past. Was a little surprised there wasn't a better output tonight, but it is what it is. But you take your hat, you tip it. Valdez pitched a great game tonight, and hopefully the Rangers' bats will finally wake up tomorrow. Last night, I wouldn't say it was a particularly great night for the Rangers' offense. He had 2 big swings. He had Corey Seager tying the game in the bottom of the 8th, and he had Josh Young hitting the game-winning homer in the bottom of the 10th. If you take away those 2 swings, it was a terrible night for the Rangers' offense last night. So we're waiting for the Rangers offense to break out in this series. I really do hope that it happens. Let me keep going here. Aaron says, and what was that double play Marcus didn't commit to? Yeah, that was a weird play. You know, I have harsh reactions in the moment, especially when it's against a team like the Astros and it's a game that you really need. It seems like, you know, it's guys like Semien I really trust to make the right plays. And Semien is such a great fielder out there. You know, I really don't want to second guess Semi too much, but I agree with what you're saying. It definitely was a questionable play, no doubt. Let me see here. More. Let's get another win on Wednesday. Philip, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. So tomorrow's a new day. We do have a very solid pitcher in Urania on the bump. I know he had a little bit of a rough outing last time out. Kikuchi is a guy that we have hit in the past. I really do think that the Rangers are going to be able to put up some numbers against him. He was very solid his last time out. Were they playing the Pirates? Was that the matchup? I think so. The Pirates, decent offense, but I think the Rangers will be able to have a good night, good afternoon. I think, yeah, good afternoon tomorrow in the game right before the off day. Let me keep going. The White Sox won, is that right? Oh my gosh, miracles do happen. The White Sox finally win a game. No kidding. Who did they beat? Who did the White Sox beat? I'm on the scores right now checking it out. White Sox beat the A's. All right, that kind of makes sense. I mean, the A's actually, the A's, I think, had one of the better AL records in the month of July. I think it got posted somewhere online. I think the A's actually had one of the best records in all of Major League Baseball in July, but it does make sense. It would be the A's that snap the 21-game losing streak. This one says, thoughts on Garcia not diving for the outfield ball with two outs that puts runs on the board. You know, Dolley has had some questionable plays out in the outfield. Dolley is a gold glover. I, just like Semien, try to give the benefit of the doubt, but I'm a little bit cold on Dolley right now. And I got to say, there have been multiple plays this year that I've been frustrated with. Dolley not hustling, Dolley letting a ball bounce in front of him, not diving. I got to say, I'm losing some benefit of the doubt for Adolis Garcia out in the outfield and just in general. He just is not having a great season. And that doesn't mean here at Ride on Rangers, we're Dolley haters. We're not. But we're just calling it like we see it. We love Dolley for everything he did. I've said this so many times, y'all, and the people that have been watching most nights post-game, you know this. We love Dolley. Everything he did last year, always going to love Adolis Garcia. But this year is not his year. It doesn't mean he can't have a great August and September and turn it all around. He's very capable of doing that. He has the talent and ability. But for me, I'm souring on Dolley. I'm glad they moved him down in the lineup. I do think if it gets a whole lot worse, you do need to consider a platoon situation with him, which I never thought I would say on this show ever. And look, if he proves me wrong, I'm sure there's going to be some people online, you know, the keyboard warriors that, oh, I told you he'd come around. Come on now. Does anybody have any shred of evidence at this point that Adolis Garcia is going to suddenly turn on the light switch, start hustling every single play, lock in at the plate, stop swinging at crap? Is there any evidence to point to that? I would say no. So you know what? If you want to trumpet being right on Adolis and you're just going to hang on to he's going to figure it out, hey, more power to you. I'm not going to hate on it. You guys know I'm very optimistic in my outlook on the Rangers, but I look at numbers, I look at stats, I look at a body of work, and I call it like it is. Dolley hasn't been good this year, and I think he's starting to lose the benefit of the doubt among diehards and among Rangers fans. There's always going to be fans that don't want to be negative or critique any players at all, and there's always going to be fans that say, if you say anything negative about any one of the players, you're not a true fan. Come on now. Part of being a fan is the emotions, the ups, the downs, the negatives, the positives, the peaks, the valleys. That's part of being a fan. You know, again, I'm not just going to be a blind follower as a Texas Rangers fan. I'm not. If it's sucking, I'm going to say this sucks. And Dolley's effort and approach at the plate all season long has not been great. So I would say, just to put it a bow on this one, I'm not giving a whole lot of benefit of the doubt on a play like that for Adolis anymore. I know Bochy will probably say, yeah, you know, he didn't want to, you know, let it get past him. We trust him out there. Gold Glover, blah, blah. I know that they're going to defend their boy, but I'm starting to lose some benefit of the doubt for Dolie, both up at the plate and in the field as well. Let me keep going here. Lineup probably won't be the same tomorrow. I would expect Nate Lowe to be back, even though it is lefty-lefty. We'll probably see Robbie tomorrow. I'm sure we'll see Robbie again tomorrow. Leody will probably be benched again. I think if it was me, just looking at the lineup, and maybe a tweak for tomorrow, if it's me, I'm just going Nate Lowe in the sixth spot, moving Dolie down to seven, and then Duran sitting him. So I think everything is probably going to be exactly the same tomorrow, except you'll probably see Nate Lowe in the six, Dolie in the seven, and you'll see Heim, Grossman move down a slot, and then Duran will probably sit as well. So I would say that's probably the main change coming for tomorrow, if I had to guess. We'll see if I'm right. I like what they've done with the lineup. I like that Josh Jung is cleaning up. I think Wyatt Langford in the five spot is just fine. I think Wyatt had some great games as a cleanup hitter for us. I think he had some very solid moments in the four spot. I don't think it's a big deal at all that he's dropping down to five. And Josh Jung, I think, is a guy that can comfortably hit four for you. So I like this lineup, and I think Nate Lowe sliding into the lineup tomorrow will help. Not sure what Nate Lowe's numbers are against Kikuchi, but we'll check them all out here in just a little bit. Let me check TikTok. I haven't checked comments here in a while. I'm going to try and scroll back real quick. Let me see here. I'm trying to sift through. Not a lot. But I appreciate y'all watching TikTok nonetheless. Thanks so much. Appreciate the support. All right, let me get back to the bottom. I'll try and look a little bit harder. If y'all on TikTok got something you want to talk about, question, comment, put it in, and I'll definitely make sure I get to it. Let me keep going, though. We have not a whole lot to go through in the lineup today. Seager, big moment, bottom nine, two-run bomb. Josh Jung almost ties the game, hits it to the warning track, would have been a home run in three different parks. That's about the most notable stuff that happened tonight offensively. You had a couple of walks, three walks total. Four, I guess Robbie Grossman gets a walk too. Two walks by Semien. Smith walked. Grossman walks. Not a lot of great stuff in this one. We had two double plays. Duran, Grossman both grounded into a double play. Corey Seager with the two-out RBI once again had the two-out RBI in yesterday's game in the eighth inning to tie the game. Seager's on a heater right now. I think he's 7 for his last 20. And over the five games, that is what he's hitting, 7 for 20, which is good for, I believe, roughly a 350 average or so. So Seager, hate to waste this hot streak that he's on. You really, really want somebody in this offense to be hot with Corey Seager. When he gets hot and nobody else around him is on base, it really doesn't make a huge difference. And we've talked about on the show how many solo home runs the Rangers have hit. Tonight obviously wasn't a solo shot from Seegs, but we need somebody else getting hot behind Corey Seager because we are not going to be winning a whole lot of games with offensive outputs like this. The offense has been bad the past two nights. Josh Smith, Corey Seager bailed us out last night. Corey Seager bailed us out again tonight. Otherwise, it would have been a no-hitter shutout. So thank you to Corey, but the rest of the team has to hit. We can still get a win. That's the beauty of this. Can still get a win tomorrow and be somewhat on track in the division. Loss tomorrow makes it hard. I'm not going to say season over if they lose tomorrow, but it's just not ideal. Get a win tomorrow, and then you get the off day. And then the Rangers after that, after the off day, will be off on the road. Would be, I think, kind of a disappointing homestand if you just kind of look at the big picture. Would have been nice to win at least two out of three against the Sox. You had a chance to do that. You won the one game. You had the rubber match Sunday. You got another rubber match coming up tomorrow. Hopefully the Rangers come out on the winning end. Friday, Rangers will be on the road. They will be flying to New York City for a matchup with the Yankees. So fun series coming up, Rangers versus Yankees. Kind of reminds you of some of those classic matchups in the playoffs in the late 90s. Some of my fans that have been around for a while, I mean, those were painful series when the Rangers, you know, weren't even winning a single game in the playoffs. I mean, they hadn't won a series that entire 90s stretch, and they just ran into that Yankees buzzsaw year after year, it seemed like. So that Texas-New York series, I think, is always a fun one. It reminds me of those good old 90s days, and Rangers will be, looks like it doesn't even say who they'll be facing over the weekend. Sometimes teams have it drawn out that far, but Rangers will be in the Bronx to play the Yankees for a three-game set starting Friday night with the off day on Thursday. Let me keep going here. So for tonight, I think we can kind of put a bow on this game. The only other thing that I would probably mention, we talked about Malley. Dane Dunning, I really don't know what they're going to do with him. I'm not sure what they're going to do with Dane. Dane has not been good over his last probably 10 games. So I'm going to read you the stats. The truth serum, the ultimate truth serum, as I like to call it. Dane over his last seven games, 5.51 ERA. Right? You've got seven walks in 16 innings. Dane, 10 strikeouts in 16 innings. That's just not Dane Dunning. Nearly two base runners allowed per inning over those seven games, which it's kind of been a mix of starts and relief appearances. Dane Dunning has not been good of late, and I don't really know what they're going to do with him. I don't think you can really, you know, in good faith, employ him as a starting pitcher right now. I know they're trying to use him as a guy that can give you length, especially with some of the pitching injuries. But I must say, I am souring on Dane Dunning a little bit. I think they're giving him a pretty nice runway, and he continues to get hit around no matter what type of situation they decide to use him in. I don't know how they can continue to use him in close games, though. I know some of y'all probably thought that too. So when Dane Dunning comes into this game, it's a one-run game. Dane Dunning comes in, it is a one-run game. And I thought maybe they'd use him for the sixth, maybe the seventh. They decided to go ahead and just use him the whole way here. And I get it that the bullpen was a little bit taxed. But Dane Dunning is just not a guy I want in a one-run or two-run game right now, either way. Losing by one or two, winning by one or two. I really don't want to see Dane Dunning anywhere near a game like that right now. In the past, has Dane Dunning been a guy that you could use in those situations? 100%. How he's going right now, though, I don't know how you can continue in good faith to throw him out there when almost every game you're playing at this point is a game that you must win. So I don't know what the mentality is there. I think it's probably save the bullpen, see if we can catch Dane on a good day. But Dane has not been good lately, and it would be my strong suggestion that we stop using him in one or two run games. I think Dane has the potential to be good over short stretches, but he came into this game in the top of the sixth and immediately gave up a run. I think that was the most frustrating thing. Like, I could live with Dane Dunning giving up a run in his third inning, in his fourth inning of play, but Dane Dunning came into this game, a one-run game. It was 1-0 going into the top of the sixth and immediately got into trouble. So you can't even go with the argument with Dane of, yeah, they just kind of stretched him out a little bit too far and had to go through the lineup a second time and he got hit around. I mean, literally, top of the sixth inning, let me go ahead and read you the play-by-play. Single by Diaz, ground out, walk. Then we have a pop-out and then a single to make it 2-0 and then a strikeout. So every other base runner is getting on. That's not a winning recipe. And that was the very first inning Dunning pitched. So I really don't know what the answer is going to be for Dane. I'm sure they're trying everything to get him back on track. I know he's been dealing with some injuries. Is he still having some lingering effects? Are the mechanics a little bit affected with some of the injury stuff? I know I think he had a shoulder issue of some kind. Who knows? And you know the Rangers aren't going to tell you too much. Rangers do one of the better jobs in Major League Baseball of being tight-lipped when it comes to injuries, player transactions. You just kind of get hit with it out of nowhere. That's kind of how this Rangers PR team works and just how the club works in general, which, look, isn't a bad thing. As a fan, 100%, I'd love to have a little bit more transparency, but I totally understand the competitive advantages that can come with staying tight-lipped when it comes to things like this. Either way, with Dane, they got to figure something out. I don't think you can pitch him in anything beyond a game that's lopsided one way or another. You're up by six, you're up by five, or you're losing by five or six, and you just need an innings eater. Unfortunately, how Dane Dunning is pitching right now, that is what he's become. I think use him as an innings eater, and that's about it. I think otherwise, in a tight game, you shouldn't be calling his number. I'll keep going here. After we play New York, yes, we do go to Boston. So we're going to do a little East Coast swing here, which will be fun. I mean, look, anytime you go play these big brand names, it's just a great time in my book. I mean, I know it's not ideal for where the Rangers are at in their season. So the Rangers need to win baseball games. You're going to play really good teams. New York is a really good team. Boston, we know, is a really good team. It's not super ideal in terms of getting wins, but I will say I love when the Rangers get to play these big market teams. It's just fun, and it's a great test for the Rangers. And when you knock off the big teams, it's just so much sweeter. So I'm looking forward to both the New York series and the Boston series. Not sure how the Rangers are going to come out of it. So I would imagine Ivo is going to be probably opening up that Friday night game, which is great for him. Y'all know Ivo pitched for New York. Ivo did the Yankees and the Red Sox, one of those rare Yankees and Red Sox players. You know, there's a few that come to mind, and it's becoming a little more commonplace now. But that'll be fun to see Ivo play another former team in the New York Yankees. I'm sure he'll be starting either Friday or Saturday night at latest, which is good news for the Rangers winning prospects. Ivo, our best pitcher, you live and die by what he gives you out there on the mound. Didn't have quite the outing we would have liked for him last time out, which I think bodes well for us on Friday or Saturday. Because usually when Ivo has a bad start, he comes back like with vengeance. And we get one of those classic seven innings, one earned run, 8, 9, 10 Ks. So I'm excited to see Ivo pitch in the Bronx. I think that is going to be must-see TV. Let me keep going here. Rangers are still 5 games out of first place. Get the early lead tomorrow. Thank you, Gio. Get the early lead tomorrow, please. Can we stop doing the 0-0, 1-0 thing for 5 innings? Like, come on now. Can we get the bats going a little bit earlier? Can we make this a game that's a little bit out of reach in the fourth or the fifth? Please, come on now. Hope those bats can get going. But Gio's perspective is right. So tonight, I believe the Mariners lost. They were losing before I got on the live. Did that game finally go final? Mariners lost 4-2 in Seattle to the Tigers. So I think disappointing the Rangers weren't able to get a win tonight. That would have pushed them up to 4 games back. But look, if you're going to lose, lose on a night when the Mariners lose. So still 5 games back. And you've got 40, let me do the fast math. Oh my goodness. 48 games left to play. This was game 114. So you got 48 games left and you're 5 games back. Very doable. Very, very doable. But you start dipping down to 7-8. That's when it gets tough, when you're down to this many games left. So the perspective is correct. Get a win tomorrow. Get an early lead. Day game baseball. I always love it. I tell y'all this all the time. I don't always get to watch the game as closely when it's during the day, but it just kind of gives you something fun to do during the workday. Peek on the score every once in a while. I don't know. I love the day games. So we're going to go ahead right now. If there's nothing else on today's game, lock in on the pitching matchups for tomorrow and the opposing lineups and how they fared against each probable starter. And then we will do AL West roundup, do headlines around the league, and then call it a night. I like the New York Yankees, but go Rangers. All right, hey, I'll take that. So a lot of us have multiple teams we enjoy watching. I think I told y'all growing up, I was born in St. Louis, lived there for a number of years, loved watching the Cardinals growing up, moved to the DFW area when I was in middle school, and it was just hard not to fall in love with the Rangers. All my buddies loved the Rangers, went to a ton of Texas Rangers games at the old stadium. So became a true Rangers fan. But look, still don't mind seeing the Cardinals do well. In 2011, was rooting hard for the Rangers to get their first World Series ring. We all know what happened, but we've all got our teams that we like to watch on the side beyond the Rangers. Don't mind seeing the Padres do well. Also out here, they're kind of my NL team I like to keep my eye on. Can't stand the Angels, of course. The Dodgers, nah. And then none of the Bay Area teams catch my interest at all. But I do like watching the Padres. They're a fun team. So, hey, no harm, no foul. Go Rangers. Natalie says, I don't really think Langford is fully ready to hit at the very front of the lineup till the power really gets unlocked at the big league level. I think that's fair. And that's why I said I don't think it's a bad move that he moved down to the five spot. I do think Josh Young is more of a polished hitter at this point than Wyatt Langford is. So no qualms, no issues with Josh Young getting moved up to four, Wyatt Langford getting moved back down to five. In some cases, I think it might be better for Wyatt Langford to have a little bit less pressure. In the four spot, there is a lot of pressure. I think y'all heard me say last week, when your 4 and 5 hitters, that was Dolley and Langford at the time, flip the order, it was Langford 4, Dolley 5. When those hitters are hitting under 200 over a 15-game stretch, which they were as of last week, you're not going to win a lot of games, and you're not going to score a lot of runs. You have got to have your 4 and 5 hitter going well, or at least going decent, going 1 for 4, getting a walk mixed in there, driving in some runs. So right now, I think the Rangers are figuring out They're running out of time to give the long runway to some of these players. Adolis, I think, is in a perfect spot hitting down at the bottom of the order. And if you can't figure it out down there, then you know it was the right thing. Because if it's one of two reasons why he either just continues to not make adjustments up there, or again, something mental, down on himself because he got moved down in the order. Either way, it's not good. Now, if he responds, then you have a decision to make whether to leave him right there because that's where he got hot, or to move him back up, which you definitely could do. But right now, I'd like to see Doley continue to hit seventh. I think Nate Lowe, Langford, Young, all those guys are guys we'd rather see getting more at-bats than Adolis Garcia right now. And that's not to hate on Doley, but the numbers don't lie. We would much rather be having Nate Lowe, Langford, Young over a stretch of games get more at-bats than Doley by hitting ahead of him. Let me keep going. So tomorrow, the matchup, 1:35, Texas time start, 11:35 for here, out me on the West Coast in Vegas. We got Kikuchi versus Urania. Kikuchi, 4.67 ERA, Urania, 3.70 ERA, both pitchers with losing records. Kikuchi, 4-9, Urania, 3-6. Texas versus Kikuchi. Duran, 0-2. Don't think we'll see Duran tomorrow, if I had to guess. Doley, 3-7 with two homers against Kikuchi. So maybe tomorrow is a day that Doley breaks out and has a nice game. Here's another one. Robbie Grossman, 4.55 batting average in 11 ABs with a bomb off of Kikuchi. So roughly 5-11 in his career. Robbie Grossman, 13.56 OPS against Kikuchi. Heim, 2-5. Against him in his career with 3 RBI. Josh Young, 0-1. Carson Kelly, who may get a start tomorrow, don't know, 0-6. Langford, 1-3 against Kikuchi. Nate Lowe, 3-6 with a bomb. So you got to think Nate Lowe is going to be back in the lineup tomorrow after getting an off day today. Nate Lowe had great numbers against Valdez. They decided to sit him anyways. Nate Lowe has great numbers against Kikuchi. So look, I think y'all get what I'm saying here. The Rangers have very positive numbers against the Astros probable starter for tomorrow. Seager is 2-9 from what it looks like. Marcus Semien, I'm not going to be able to do the fast math on this one, but I think he's something like 8-31 or 9-31. I think probably 7 or 8-31. Simi does have a home run against Kikuchi in his career. Josh Smith is 0-1 and Leody is 0-4. We won't be seeing Leody tomorrow, lefty starter. So I don't think those stats really mean a whole lot. Now on the other side, Astros versus Urania. Jose Altuve is a guy that Urania needs to watch out for. Jose Altuve is hitting 6-7 off of Urania in his career with a home run and 6 RBI. So Altuve has 6 RBI and 7 at-bats against Urania. That might be a guy you want to pitch around tomorrow or at least be very, very careful with. Yordan Alvarez against Urania is 0-6. Bregman is 3-7. Caratini, the catcher, is 2-7. Don't know if we'll see Caratini tomorrow. Diaz, the normal everyday starter, 0-2. Dubon, 1-3. Diaz, the first baseman, 0-3. McCormick, 1-3. Myers, 1-2. Pena, 0-2. And John Singleton, 1-2. So you have kind of the top of the order guys with a little bit more of extended ABs against Urania. Altuve 7, Alvarez 6, Bregman 7. But after that, it's a pretty small sample size. I would say this. I do think that Urania is going to bounce back and have a better start. Again, for anybody that's showing in late, last time out, Urania, first time ever pitching to Carson Kelly, the Rangers trade deadline acquisition from the Detroit Tigers. I think it's always a 50-50 proposition when you are pitching to a brand new catcher. You don't have that level of familiarity there. So I do think we're going to see a better effort from Urania. I like the Rangers' chances tomorrow. I do think tomorrow could be a good day for the bats to break out. I can't say that I'm holding my breath, but I will say they've got good numbers against Kikuchi in their careers. They did hit Kikuchi well in Toronto when they faced him a couple of weeks ago. I think that they absolutely have a good shot to take tomorrow's game and to win the Silver Boot. Tomorrow, it's for all the marbles. Whoever wins tomorrow's game takes the Silver Boot right now. Astros have 6 wins. Rangers have 6 wins. We'll see what happens. 1:35 Texas time tomorrow. I can't believe the White Sox won either. Noah, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you, buddy. Yeah, I can't believe the Sox won. We're going to go around all the headlines in just a little bit here. E. Baker, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. What's your opinion on the national anthem at the All-Star game? It was terrible. Actually, the Home Run Derby was terrible. The All-Star game was actually pretty good. The All-Star game, they had what, Cody Johnson sing it? That was great. The All-Star game national anthem was quality. The Home Run Derby national anthem was about the worst thing I've ever heard. Fergie singing at the NBA All-Star game, I think, tops it for me. I think we have some recency bias. I still think the Fergie national anthem at the NBA All-Star game several years back was the worst one I've ever heard. There's been some doozies, but the national anthem at the Home Run Derby was pretty bad. But I think that lady did come out and say she was drunk while she was singing it, so it kind of makes sense. But the national anthem at the All-Star game itself, Cody Johnson, he did a great job. I thought he was great. I think I'm getting that name right. Country singer. I thought it was outstanding. Much better. I mean, when you put it the very next night after one of the worst national anthems of all time, I think anything looks better. I mean, right? Anyways, let's check out the headlines from today around the league. Valdez is on the front page, and Corey Seager is in the background, a little bit blurry, but Seags is hitting second base. Valdez with the hands on the hips, frustrated that he lost the no-no. I don't know. I don't think this is like a great front page for the Astros. It's literally Corey Seager rounding the bases, hitting a bomb, and this is front page material. I mean, look, I'll take it. Seager on the front page in the background, rounding the bases after hitting a homer. One out away from his second career no-no. I don't feel as bad. Valdez has a no-hitter. Doesn't need a second one. Don't get greedy. Corey Seager, though, man, that guy, he is on one right now. Hopefully tomorrow we don't get any, like, weird off days. I'm really just surprised. I'm surprised they even gave Nate Lowe an off day. I mean, right now you just don't have time to give the maintenance days. I'm just not a fan. You can't be doing maintenance days during these Astros series. I could get given a maintenance day during the Yankees series. Why are you giving maintenance days during the Astros series? I don't get it. The White Sox snapping the 21-game losing streak on the front page. Billy Beane, longtime Oakland A's GM, Moneyball, dies at 60. Crazy story. I did get that notification on my phone earlier today, but Billy Beane, A's GM, the Moneyball GM, passes away. I'm not going to click on the article to see what happened. Don't know if it was some kind of sickness, illness, something tragic or sudden, but let me check it out. Let me see if my computer will cooperate here. It was going a little bit slow on me. Let's see. So Billy Beane, leukemia, 11-month battle. That is very tough. Thoughts and prayers with his family. But Billy Beane, big-time pioneer in the game of baseball. Moneyball, I think we all know, a little bit exaggerated for Hollywood. Great movie. Love Moneyball. Huge Moneyball fan. But I think we all know, a little bit exaggerated, and former players have come out and confirmed different things in the story that wasn't true. Still a great movie. Love that one. But Billy Beane passes away. Loss for baseball for sure. One of the pioneers of the game, no doubt. Let me keep going. So beyond those two headlines, I think there was one or two other good ones. Let's see here. Boston beat KC again. Oh, my goodness. KC had actually been going pretty well. 6-5, close game, and this is in Kansas City. So Boston is kind of rolling right now. Like, Boston's kind of rolling. They beat us 2 out of 3. Now they go on the road to KC, and they're going to win 2 out of 3. Boston's kind of rolling right now. Beyond that, I don't think there's a whole lot else, y'all. Padres pour it on Bucks, forcing the Bucks actually force Cease out early. Padres are hot right now, 62-52 record. They've caught fire for sure in the second half here. Mookie Betts is nearing his return, but he's not going to be hitting leadoff. So Dodgers are going to be getting a big bat. Beyond that, the standings. Let's see if there's any win streaks, losing streaks. Now that the White Sox finally won a game, that was about the longest streak that's going. Nothing really notable. No losing streaks or winning streaks above 3 games right now in the major league. So no team overly hot or cold at this moment. There are some pretty bad last 10. There's some 1-9s, 2-8s, that kind of thing. But Rangers right now sit 5 games back of the division, 4.5 games back of the Astros. So that would be 3.5 games back with a win tomorrow. That would be the plan. So hopefully the Rangers will be back in business, 4.5 back of the Astros tomorrow, or 3.5 back, I should say. Game tomorrow is at 1:35. I'm going to check comments one more time, make sure I didn't miss anything. Somebody said on TikTok, Astros fan here, that game was a loss for me, not even going to lie. I mean, shoot, it felt like it. It felt like it. I mean, I definitely think the body language of the Astros players on the field, it looked like a loss. Somebody's calling me out. It's not the ex-GM. Yeah, let me look into that. Maybe not. If I messed that up, I'm sorry about that. I'm just, there's no research time, my friend, by the way. Big Game James, chill out there, buddy. It's all good. Come on, dude, chill out. Don't think you got to go and worry too much about a simple mistake, if that was. I'll have to look into it. But either way, my friend, thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you. So educate us, by the way, in the comments, if you will. Tell us the rundown. So let's go ahead and let's wrap this one up for the night. Tomorrow, again, 11:35 we'll be starting out. And we are going to be going live probably sometime in the evening. I would think probably like maybe 7-ish Texas time, if I had to guess. Maybe a little bit later than that. So probably no lives immediately after, but we'll see. I'll try and send out a post, give y'all an update on that. I'll check comments, see if I missed anything. Doesn't look like I did. All right, cool. Awesome. I'm going to do one other thing real quick before I hop off. So we have a couple of different things I think that are worth chatting through. First of all, Rangers and some of the transactions and the call-ups. A couple of people were asking about DeGrom and what his timetable is. I think DeGrom is still 2 or 3 weeks away, if I'm not mistaken. Definitely is going to be facing live hitters pretty soon here. But I know a few of you asked about that. We'll see if DeGrom comes back in time. DeGrom, I don't think, is going to get rushed. I don't think they're going to want to push him at all, especially if the Rangers are not in an obvious situation where they're going to be having a legitimate shot to make the postseason. I think they'll shut it down even more after that. Even more after that. So we'll see what happens. We will see, but I think that he's probably going to be making his debut at some point. At some point, probably in late August, if I had to say. Not sure about that, but he's really the last one at this point to come back for the Rangers. So you've got Mally, who just came back tonight. Evan Carter, we know, is going to be shut down for the season. So it might come back in the playoffs. I think the door wasn't like completely closed there. But I think that this is probably at DeGrom that is going to be one of the last ads that the Rangers get back when he's totally healthy. So there you go. Beyond that, though, y'all, I don't think there's a whole lot else. Somebody on TikTok was getting on me because I got the wrong Billy Bean. Forgot there's a couple different ones. Again, easy mistake. But Billy Bean, Senior Vice President of Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, played for the Dodgers. So just read that headline a little bit too quickly. I hope y'all forgive me. Sorry about that. But we are going to go ahead and close this one out for today. Appreciate y'all. If you're not subscribed, not following the account, thank you for doing so. Share this with somebody. If you know someone who loves the Rangers, loves Major League Baseball, I'd love if you pass it along. And then we'll keep growing this good community of people talking Rangers baseball, sports in general, baseball in general. I love it. It's why I started this. So I appreciate all of you guys. The system betting 1 cent on a Texas Rangers win for every follower is ebbing and flowing right now. We need a few wins in a row to get back on track. Not going to lie. But I appreciate all y'all's support. I really thank you so much. We've been growing steadily each and every day. We put things out. And I really, really thank you for that. I started with 0 followers, over 10,000 now across all platforms. That's really all you guys. So thank you so much. Big Game James, thanks so much, man. I appreciate you pointing that out for me, my friend. Thank you. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and head out. Have a good night. Have a great Tuesday night. Hopefully I'll see you again on another live. That would be much appreciated. Otherwise, catch me on the replay at some point. But if I don't see you, have a great rest of the week. Otherwise, check my socials sometime tomorrow, midday, maybe during the game. I'll try and nail down a time I'll be going live. So that way you can make plans to attend if you so choose and are able. Would love that. Otherwise, of course, you can always check out our videos, which are up on YouTube and on Facebook. Those are the two where you're able to watch the replays. And I think y'all know Spotify and Apple for the podcast, if you do podcasts and prefer to listen that way. Thanks so much, everybody. Appreciate all the comments, likes, all that good stuff. Have a great night. And as I always say to end every show, God bless.